You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, the score lines for the Red Sox look a good bit different the last week or two. The ultimate results are kind of similar. It's fits and starts and look good and look not so good. But it seems to be more 2-1 wins and losses rather than 9-7. With that increased effectiveness of the pitching staff, how much of that is actual improvement, and how much of that is the ballparks they were in and the fact that those aren't exactly two of the most terrifying offenses in the American League?
Yeah, you know, this week will be a truer test for sure back at Fenway. But, no, I think the pitching is doing better. I mean, the ballpark doesn't have anything to do with how many guys you're walking or, you know, certain kinds of pitching you're making. So the pitchers looked a little more confident. Buchholz in particular, he continues to be a tease. You know, every time you want to completely write him off and say he's never going to be good, he does what he did in Seattle, where, you know, I don't care what ballparks that was. That was an electric performance the other night. That was the best I've seen a pitch in a while. So I think that was a good sign. Kelly looked a little better last time out. Porcello has been kind of the one guy, so pretty consistent all along. And, you know, Wade Miley, to me, has settled into a nice little groove. He's given them three starts of six innings or more, which is really, you know, you don't expect Wade Miley to be spectacular, but the one thing you kind of counted on him going into the year was he was the guy who was going to give you innings, you know, and he's done that the last three times. So I think there's definitely been some encouragement from the staff.
You had a piece this week that the headline was that Carl Willis is getting results. And it was interesting because, again, you know, we talked a little about this, and it's like nobody's burying Juan Nieves at all, but there continue to be these hints that this wasn't just about change for change's sake, that there was something in the communication or the execution that really wasn't working that seems to be better now. And I just want to ask again, is there any more that's kind of clear about what it is they like about the way Willis does things that maybe wasn't getting done before?
You know, Farrell likes his style a lot from when they worked together in Cleveland. Remember, John Farrell was the Cleveland farm director at the same time that, you know, Willis was the pitching coach. And this is a guy who was with Sabathia and Westbrook and, a lot of those other guys at the time who were having, I forget all the names off the top of my head, but that Indians team, they were having a lot of success at the time. He was their pitching coach. He's got a real sort of easygoing style about him, but, he gives these guys confidence and he makes little adjustment. He has to make little adjustments where he doesn't make it seem like he's trying to, overhaul their whole repertoire. So I think that, sometimes, you just need a new voice. And I'm not sure Juan Nieves, I don't know how much of a belief he had in his pitchers. I think he was starting to lose some confidence in his pitchers. And I think that was trickling over to them. And I just think that, it wasn't a good situation. So for the Red Sox to fire a pitching coach a month into the season, something had to be not going right there, because that's that's pretty weird timing, I would say.
We talked previously about Justin Masterson and his situation. He is on the DL. They actually did call it an actual injury, and they didn't just call it fatigue or something like that. What exactly is his situation? How does he look kind of going forward here?
Yeah, it's very concerning, to be sure. Not the injury part. I don't think the injury is concerning. It's sort of one of those little things that, you get to get a guy a couple weeks off. I mean, they did the same thing with Buchholz last year, and they say they saw some inflammation in his shoulder. I mean, to me, Matthew, you could probably see inflammation in just about any pitcher's shoulder, when he's going out there every fifth day. I think that's just the way it is. I think they just really need to see. If it is more of, like you said, I think a fatigue thing where he just needs a couple weeks off here, because they thought that his arm strength had clearly been lacking the last two times. And the scary thing is they just want him to get back to what he was his first five starts. I don't think he was real good his first five starts either. I mean, if that's the upside they're looking for, I mean, I wonder how long Justin Masterson is going to be on this team, and or at least in this rotation this year. So I think that, he'll be on a pretty short leash when he comes back, and he's going to have to have some pretty quick results, because, once you do have the other pitcher starting to click in the right direction, it really hurts you when you have one guy sort of bringing the thing down when it's his day to pitch. So, the proof will be when Justin comes back in a couple weeks to see if that downtime, helps him gather anything. I just don't know if his stuff has come back, or if it's going to come back, or when it's going to come back at this point.
So in the short term, they turn to Stephen Wright. He's kind of a reliable, known quantity. He's not a prospect that they don't know what they're getting. But he's probably also a short-term fix. How close are we, and I know we continue to talk about this, but I think it continues to be a topic of interest in Boston. How close are we to one of the kids, one of the sort of future pieces of the rotation, being ready to be a present piece of the rotation?
Yeah, I think that, you know, right now, Eduardo Rodriguez is probably the guy who sort of established himself from the pack. But I don't think they want to shortchange his development either. So I think they'd like to get him about another 4 to 6 weeks if they can. You know, if the rotation can do what it did over the last week and sort of hold its own, and Wright can be at least a decent stopgap, you know, while Masters is out, I think they would like to hold that off till maybe mid-June, early July, and then you see a kid like Eduardo Rodriguez come up and get his chance to, you know, see if he's ready to produce at the major league level.
What are they seeing from Rodriguez? Because he does seem to be the guy that sort of draws the most attention and is the name that comes up the most. What are they seeing from him at AAA these days?
Yeah, he's always had pretty electric stuff. And I think that when he was in the Orioles organization, I think some bad habits developed. You know, I think there's some questions about work ethic, things like that. I think when you go to a new organization, you're trying to impress them. I think also when you get traded from your original organization, I think it can be a little bit of a wake-up call, like, look, I was once a top prospect. What am I doing wrong here? So I think the guy, simply, I think he's working a little harder, and it not only has the stuff down, but he's putting in the work in between starts to have the more consistent results that they've been sort of hoping for him for a while now.
Is there an opportunity in the meantime for Wright to sort of establish himself, or is he pretty much certainly the first man out as soon as Masterson is activated?
No, look, John Shaw really roots for Stephen Wright. I mean, he likes this guy. He likes his demeanor. He likes, you know, the knuckleball. You know, Farrell has familiarity with knuckleballers from when he worked with Tim Wakefield, so he knows that they can be valuable. And, look, the guy is 30 years old, and for an average pitcher to be coming on the scene at 30 years old, you would raise an eyebrow. For a knuckleball, though, for a guy who developed a pitch 3-4 years ago, I mean, that's just the way it works sometimes. So they're certainly open to see if this is going to work. He's shown flashes before that he can have a pretty good knuckleballer. You know, the one thing that knuckleballers are always challenged with is staying consistent, and that was really the beauty of Tim Wakefield for a long time, and sort of spoiled people here in Boston for a while with his consistency as a knuckleballer. But, yeah, no, they'd like to see how this plays out, right? And if he can be, I mean, at the very least, he can be a guy who can be a swingman, go from the rotation to your long guy and come back and short resting. Even those guys can be sort of invaluable on a staff, whether they're a knuckleballer or whether they're just kind of a rubber arm guy who can do that.
Talk a little bit of offense briefly before we go. David Ortiz hit his first homer in 3 weeks on Saturday. His overall numbers just don't look good. I know it's not the first time. I know Ortiz is one of those guys who has been buried before it was time many times in his career. He's also not even in his mid-30s anymore, and so it's
right.
Natural to worry whenever there is a slump. Is this just a slump, or is this more worrisome than that?
Yeah, no, I do think it's just a slump, and maybe it's because I have seen the guy do it so many times before. But just just watching him interact and watching him, he still has the confidence. You know, he still has the bat speed. I think that he's a guy who, when the rest of the lineup really starts to click, I think there's going to be a trickle effect with him, because I think right now, since Hanley Ramirez has come back from that shoulder injury, his power has really been limited right now. He's basically a single hitter as he kind of regains his strength in the shoulder. And, you know, Napoli is not hitting at all. Sandoval has been great against righties, obviously. He hasn't hit at all against lefties. But I think once the other guys in the lineup start to do their thing, I think that, you know, Ortiz gets pitched to a little bit differently. And I do think that, you know, do I think he's going to have the year he had last year? Probably not. I mean, that was a terrific year for a guy who was, I think 38 last year. But I think he can hit 20 to 25 homers and drive an 85, 90 and have a OPS over, 800 or, 820 or 840. Yeah, I think he can still do that. I think that hitter is still there, and we'll probably see that in the coming weeks.
And you mentioned the other thing I wanted to ask about, which is that since Hanley Ramirez returned from that injury, he has not been the same force of nature that he was before. Is he compromised? And if so, is there any talk of giving him more than a day here or there, and maybe giving him some downtime, even if not 15 days, maybe giving him a few days in a row to try and get right?
Yeah, I think there could be something. You know, we'll see over the next few days if he can sort of turn it around. But, yeah, I think that he's still regaining that strength in that shoulder. I think it's clear that that he's not up to 100%. You know, credit to Hanley, because this is a guy who has been sort of criticized his last couple of years in L.A. for a guy who didn't always play through things and kind of, it was at least perceived that he may be coasted onto some DL stints. I think it's a real good sign that, look, Hanley Ramirez has accountability. He knows the Red Sox are counting on him heavily. If anything, he rushed his way back into the lineup here, which is, again, that shows that he's buying into what they're doing in Boston. But at the same time, you need him producing, and you can't have him just kind of become a single hitter here. So I think they'll give it another few days and see if he can get that power back. Otherwise, yeah, maybe they do shut him down for a few days, if not 15, just so you can get the trade-off of shutting him down for 2 weeks and then getting the Hanley you had earlier in the year. That would be a pretty good trade-off, I think.
All right, well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.